Scriptures. Are you the one on the projector? Okay, let me mark your face. You show me two scriptures in King James. Show me Leviticus chapter 22, verse 3. And then show me, okay, let's do the first one first. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 25. Then show me Leviticus chapter 22, verse 3. You can't be writing now because you don't know what I want to do. So whatever you write now will not make any sense to you. Meanwhile, all my scriptures will come from Leviticus today. That part of the Bible that we don't like reading. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering. You are not serious. What did I call? Leviticus what? Seven what? What do we have on the screen? Put back what you had before. Let it be on record. Put back what you had. Anyway, Shebidity used to show on the, for those watching on YouTube, you will see his five that he put. So the man is not in alignment. 7 verse 25, for whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Give me the second one. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. So my investigation was, is it still possible that there are things you can do and you'll be cut off? What it means is that you'll be cut off from the covenant. Listen, the New Testament is a kind of covenant. When you hear testament, it's covenant. The Old Testament is the old covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant. God does not do anything outside covenant. God does not do boyfriend and girlfriend. If God will have anything with you, it will be on the basis of covenant. And if you already know the meaning of covenant, you know that covenant hosts the most serious kind of relationship. The thing between you and your siblings is covenant. The thing between you and your wife, if you are married, is covenant. Okay. Actually, if you are doing any relationship that is not covenant based, you are not a serious person. You are not like your father. That's why you suffer heartbreaks. Okay. I will use an example. To teach you this, because my teaching is not on covenant. Come and stand there. Okay. Can I get? Meanwhile, you look like somebody I know. Yes, look like somebody I know. People are looking hungry. Have you eaten? Can I get strong men? Two strong men. You stand there, your body is about to come under pressure. Two strong men. I want to demonstrate what covenant is about. Just nobody is strong. But you come now. It's just that you are looking hungry, but come. Yes. Hold him on this side. Hold him on this side. No, not that way. You hold him here. You hold him on this side. The both of you are going to pull him. Your target is to pull him to your side. And your target is to pull him to your side. So you're going to, hold on. You're going to apply a lot of pressure to make sure he comes to your side. When I tell you go, you start. You don't be like Inec. Don't stand for anybody. Stand on your own. One. Wait. One. Go. You are not drawing him. I don't want. You are not drawing him. When you draw him, I will know. Shift front. You are not. Is Ugochukwu here? Is Ugochukwu here? Is Ugochukwu around? Is Dennis around? Please come. Go and sit down. You are gentle. Come. Is Dennis here? Dennis, please come. Yes, stay on this side. Ugochukwu, come. I want people that are not afraid of consequence. Don't worry, Asif. I'm supposed to have been done with this illustration. Please, come and help me and draw this guy. Come. I beg. Help me. One, go. Thank you. But there's something I wanted to show. Come now. Why is it that when they draw his hand, it doesn't fall off? Even though they didn't apply the pressure I wanted. I have a one-year-old daughter. Sometimes when I'm doing my rough play, I will hold her from her hand like this. Draw her up like this and put her on my shoulder on one hand. And the hand does not pluff. That's a baby. I use because he has a small nature. I would have called maybe somebody smaller if I saw. What's holding this joint that no amount of pressure can pull it off? It's called covenant. Consider. Covenant is that thing that holds relationship together. Conflict cannot separate it. All this small pressure the thing has ended is based on contract, other things. Covenant, your body is glued together by covenant. Do you understand? Your body is glued together by covenant. There is no amount of quarrel that happens in your members and one will fall away. The goal is to always remain together, regardless of the pressure. Do you understand that? I should explain further. Do you understand that? Eh? Meanwhile, what holds is the tendons. It's the softest or the strongest. It doesn't break. You will need a sharp object to cut it off. So that's the kind of language that is in here. Will cut you off. Cut off. So, because of how reliable covenant relationships are, God enters any form of relationship on the basis of covenant. And every relationship God had in the Bible was based on one form of covenant or the other. You have the Adamic covenant. That's the one God entered with Adam. The provision of the covenant is for him to manage this earth on behalf of God. I think it's in Genesis 1:26. In the image of God, and he gave them dominion over. So for God to give them dominion, God has to do it on the basis of relationship. You will notice that God does not work with anybody he doesn't have any relationship with. And that covenant was established to give man the authority to manage this earth. And you know that's what Satan led us to. Noah came next. And God had a covenant with Noah. And the basis of the covenant was to secure this earth from further destruction. There were other provisions like seed time and harvest. But one of the most important things God had with Noah, that their relationship, one of the most important things he produced is first, to preserve a specimen from being wiped out, to continue the agenda of God. Given that the whole earth was completely messed up and God wanted to wipe out everything, but he needed to enter covenant with a man to secure a species. If you wipe everybody out, you have to start creation again. And then further, to preserve the earth from further destruction. So no amount of evil will happen on this earth that will destroy it again. That God will come and say, I'm tired. It is until the end of this age, when the time comes for the earth to be wind down, God will not interfere again because of that covenant he had with Noah. You need to know that. And then comes Abraham, who is the one I told you yesterday. God's covenant with Abraham is what produced the Old Testament. And that same covenant is what produced the New Testament. Abraham is the hallmark of what God is doing on earth. The Muslims are the sons of Abraham. The Christians are the sons of Abraham. Ishmael came from Abraham. Isaac came from, but remember, he has four wives. He had four wives. And those four wives produced four, should I call them generations or what? Don't know. We are the sons of Rebekah in the order of Isaac. If you're a believer, you're a Gentile, your participation in the covenant was through Isaac. I don't want to go into that. But what the point I'm making is that God arranges this thing in covenant. And then of course Moses came and God had a covenant with that man. And the provision was to take those people from slavery to the promised land so that the program will begin. And of course God had a covenant with Samuel. And God had a covenant with David. which is what? Now, it is on the basis of that covenant that you will not go to hell. But I'm not teaching that. If I have confused you with these things I've said, you need to do further study from your Bible. So this covenant that God established with his son, upon which redemption came to man, upon which the church was born, you remember in Psalms, I can't pick the actual psalm that said the heaven, even the heaven of heaven belongs to me. The earth have I given to the sons of men. When God made that statement, he put as sons of men, sons of men, sons of men. So anybody can assume. But in the New Testament, Jesus had to define what God meant by sons of men. When he said, I will build my church. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The key is kingdom of heaven. But guess what the key is doing? Whatsoever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. The key is the kingdom of heaven. But it is used on earth. So Jesus defined the sons of men as the church. The church was given birth to as a result of that covenant. There is nothing God is doing that is not within the context of the new covenant. Your salvation, your anointing, your prosperity, your deliverance. What are the things that Christians normally need? The presence of God. Your authority does not come outside the covenant. So if they cut you off from the covenant, you might still be alive, but you'll be a useless person. Are you getting where I'm coming from? It's not my message, Joe. All this preamble, because if I start running, you will understand what I'm saying. Eddie Prince, are you following what I'm explaining? It's important you understand what I'm saying. The reason is because if I were to be here with you, building alongside Apostle, I can afford to waste sessions. I can say, let me waste this one. By next week, I'll get another one and take it serious. But the price I'm paying to be here, I can't come here and not say something that will move somebody from level 1 to 2. That's better. Amen. So me, I'm serious with what I'm doing. Because this thing you are doing is not a joke. You won't find it anywhere in this country. I'm not trying to hype any. You won't find it. Me, I'm searching. You won't find it. If you live here, you won't find anybody that will keep you. Do you know what it takes to preach 50 days? Forget about you that is available to preach. Do you know what it takes to impart? We do something like this 40 days. Our hours is 40. I dread it. You will preach. I know some of you like preaching, but one day you will have opportunity to preach. You know you don't have too much rhema. When you preach day 1, day 2, day 3, your message will start losing weight. Day 4, you are not telling stories. I remember my friend in Lagos. I remember my friend in Abuja. I remember my friend in Enugu. Because you want to use story to capture people. is still inside your story.
Nothing.
At the level you are now, you only need to preach once in a month for the thing to be hot. They give you every day in a month. So, it is a huge sacrifice, this kind of meeting. You know how much they said this? Do you know how much diesel needs to power this place for 50 days? Maybe you've not done this calculation. Do you know how much data they use in streaming that thing? They are streaming. Have you asked them before? Eh? Do you know how much it takes to bring some of the ministers that have come to minister to you? What I'm telling you is, this is not the kind of place we'll come and start telling stories. If all these resources, God's money, will be put down, something has to follow it. That's what I'm saying. And on your part, and I understand there are, you know, accommodation available for people that came from far, and food, maybe. Is there food? They give you free food. Okay, it's not free, but there is food. We're subsidized. Eh? You won't answer that. The reason you may not understand is because you are not. I'm doing something similar to this. Not at this level. So I can only imagine what is going down. I have an idea. That's what I'm saying. To feed people is the most expensive thing to do now. No matter how the food is. So I have an idea. So I know what the ministry is sacrificing. And I know what the individuals are sacrificing. All this for what? For what? To touch God. To receive from God. Therefore, we can't come on any session and waste time. Are you getting the gist now? When you are here. So, when I studied the book of Leviticus, I saw that God's program runs within the context of his covenant with the nation of Israel. That's what we call the old covenant. And there are certain things they will do, and they will be cut off from that covenant. The implication of being cut off is that the covenant can no longer answer to you. You might still be physically among the covenant people. When manna falls, it won't fall in your house. When water breaks out, you won't get your own share. You only participate if you are still recognized in the covenant. And this is what is going on in the New Testament. There is grace in the New Testament. But grace is still available now. But from what I'm seeing, the grace as available now is more of the empowering grace, the enabling grace. It's not, I'm not saying anything has changed. But there's been a shift from COVID-19 lockdown. There's been a shift from the Pentecostal era to the kingdom move. We are now in the last days move of God. This is what we call the kingdom move, the kingdom era, the era of the kingdom. That's what we've entered. And we are just taking off in that move. By the time we journey further, a lot of things will be affected. You can see a lot of things. You can see in Nigeria now that that thing is trying to superimpose the political space, because that's like the moment it happens, that will become a proof. And some of us that know where this thing has been coming from, you will notice that what has happened to happened in Nigeria in the last 9 months is unprecedented. You can't say it's this person or that person or whatever. You will see it came like an unseen hand and changed everything. So there will be a lot of disruptions. There will be a lot of changes, radical changes. Those changes are a sign that we have moved into a new season. And those changes are also the futures of a new move, the last day's move of God. When this move continues to a point, some people are going to receive an anointing. Eh? Have you heard the powers of the age to come? You know what it is? So those things will start surfacing on the earth. That's why what you are doing, that's why what you are doing now is very important, because it is positioning you to be participants of what is to come. Those days are just at the corner. Superhuman abilities, things that have not been heard. We've heard them, but they are rare. They will become normal. Just like you there now can get up and walk through that wall and go your way, and you won't need to pass through this crowd. And it's not going to be for show, because the day Jesus walked on water, he was not doing show. Recall that there was a crusade, and at the end of the crusade, he went to the mountain to pray. And his disciples came out after arranging seats, arranging food, and such. So they didn't see him, so they thought he had gone. So they took off. Halfway into their journey, Jesus came out from his prayer closet and found that everybody has left him. There was no longer boat. The last boat is the one the disciples took to sail. A spiritual man cannot be stranded. He just entered the water and started walking. Those things will return. And halfway into the journey, you know the rest of the story, those things will return. When you start seeing those changes, those ones are still. And then in the political space, it's like I've started doing prophetic conference before time. In the political space, you will see the word converging, which is already the convergence that is going on, will become established, And then you will see some of the most terrific. Let me leave that. That's a sign that we've changed. So in this era of the kingdom, there are things you do, you'll be dismissed from the covenant. God is not going to accommodate liabilities longer again. Let me say it again. God is not going to accommodate, in this new one, God is not going to accommodate liabilities for long. There are certain things you do, it's all over. Not that you will die, but you cannot, you'll be cut off from the covenant. This whole explanation is just to explain what that scripture meant by cutting you off. You are a revival hub, and there's a covenant that holds this ministry together. And the reason the anointing, the resources, the life that flows through the ministry is touching you is because you are still recognized. Just like your hand being amputated, the place will dry off, the hand will die off. So the reason you are still receiving, if there is a release, it gets to you. It may not get to you immediately, but you participate. You can notice the anointing on the head is also touching you small. You are beginning to see traces, even as basic as your prayer life has started changing. You notice it is a proof that you are part of the covenant, and the life flowing from that covenant is touching you. Keep pushing. More of the life will come, and you start experiencing transformation. Very soon, you'll be one of those they will be celebrating too. Celebrating the hand of God over your life. The moment you find out the thing is flowing, people are coming up everywhere. One person, the person is not part. The person has been severed. That's the challenge. And it can happen, and it will happen very well. So there are things you must avoid. I have 9, but I'm not sure I will share all the 9 because of time. If I'm able to do 5, I will thank God. These are things that when you do, you'll be cut off from the covenant. And I use my study from the book of Leviticus, because this same thing is what disqualified many people in the old covenant. So my question was, is it true that the grace of God will not preserve you from being cut off? Yes, it's true. The grace of God that is available is to achieve one objective now, is to enable you live the kind of life that will bring you up to speed with God's expectation. The grace of God can also exempt you from certain, you know, things and all of that. But for somebody who is now a Christian, you're not just a Christian, you've journeyed with God, you have an understanding of what good and bad is and all of that, and you decide to continue to do certain things, the grace of God will not save you. I don't have time to prove this thing I said, so let me take it back. I would have showed you that Ananias died in the era of grace. Is it not true? Have I lost you? Ananias and his wife died in the era of grace. Is it not true? Was the grace of God taken back? Was it taken back? So what was the issue? There are certain things you don't do. Okay, number one. So, because of simplicity, just put up the scriptures in good news. Leviticus chapter 7. Start from verse 16. I'll show you 2 or 3 different scriptures, and I'll tell you what it is. If you bring a fellowship offering as fulfillment of a vow or as your own free will offering, I don't need this part. 17. 18. Okay, I will need to read it so they will understand the context. Has to be eaten on the day it is offered, but any that is left over may be eaten on the following day. Yes? 17. Any meat that still remains on the third day must be burned. The regulations. If any of it is eaten on the third day. Meanwhile, if you want to understand priesthood, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you have to find a way to understand those things and how it relates to you. And now, the problem with Leviticus is that it looks like it has no New Testament meaning. No, be so, Joshua. Or you never read Leviticus. Try reading for you, Mario. It's looking like it has no meaning in the New Testament. But it does. You come to Numbers, the same thing. If any of it is eaten on the third day, God will not accept your offering. The offering will not be counted to your credit, but will be considered unclean. And whoever eats it will suffer the consequences. Verse 19. If the meat comes into a contact with anything ritually unclean, it must not be eaten, but must be burned. Any of you that are ritually clean may eat the meat. Verse 20. But if any of you who are not clean eat it, that's my point, you shall no longer be considered one of God's people. Or King James will say, you will be cut off from amongst my people. Let's do chapter 19, verse 5. But when you kill an animal for a fellowship offering, keep the regulations I have given you and I will accept the offering. Verse 6. The meat must be eaten on the day the animal is killed or on the next day. Any meat left on the third day must be burned. It's just talking about the same thing. Yes, because it is ritually unclean. But if anyone eats it, I will not accept the offering. Yes, any who eat it will be guilty of treating as ordinary what is dedicated to me, and they will no longer be considered my people. 9. I don't need 9. Then finally, 22 verse 3. I think you put it up before. When you are here. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed, is King James now. If any of your descendants, while he is ritually unclean, comes near the sacred offerings which the people of Israel have dedicated to me, he can never again serve at the altar. This applies for all time to come. King James will say, never serve at the altar. He will no longer be considered as one of my people to serve in God's presence. The key word here is unclean. And that's what you need to bother about. Forget those regulations. What does it mean? This is what it means. I will use Revival Hub as an example. If you're a new person here, you just joined maybe these 50 days. Uncleanliness means sin. Don't hit your head. Uncleanliness means sin. If you're a new person here and you just joined, if you commit sin, God will forgive you and will encourage you and bring you forward. But if you are heading a center, you are not permitted again. Let me say it again, because Christians don't understand this. If you study the book of Leviticus well, you will notice there are certain sins that the blood does not atone for. You will see it. The moment you trade in that part, is finished. It's not as if there is no hope for your salvation. This is not about salvation or no salvation. Remember what I'm saying. The covenant will be cut off. Nothing will flow to you. When you sow, number one, do not. Number one, don't. When you serve as a priest, don't get involved with sin. If you know you have not conquered sin, leave priesthood alone. Let me say it again. And I know people are following online. If you have problem with sin, leave priesthood alone. I'm talking even family priesthood. Leave your family altars alone. Leave everything that has to do with priesthood alone. Just be in discipleship. The fact that you're in discipleship is a statement you are making that you are not. If you are in the service of God, avoid sin. Moses cannot say he is sorry. It's not an answer for misbehavior. Do you remember when God called Moses and said, go to Egypt, and they had that discussion? Moses got up to move, and the Bible says, Satan. Is this Satan? The Bible says, God, not Satan. God blocked him on the road and sought to kill him. Have you read it in Exodus? What was the issue? What? How is circumcision the issue? Not circumcising his son, was the issue. But how was that the issue? I know it's the wife now to circumcise the son and took the blood and put on him, and he was okay. But how was that the issue? Sorry? Yes. You know the day God did it to Abraham, even Abraham circumcised himself. Circumcision was required in the covenant, and he omitted it. It's not God that sought to kill him. It's the angel of death that actually sought to kill him. But because he's an angel, they called him God. Because the writers didn't have all this discernment. Anyone that is black, just like some of you, if he's black, he's Satan. If he's white, he's God. And the reason God could not get involved is because legally, he was not covered. That's an example of what I'm talking about. If something comes for you, and you call Papa, nothing will save you. You will die it clean. Nothing has reduced from his authority. Nothing has reduced from his covering. But you have been cut off. Many people have died for what I'm teaching you. But you may not understand. I notice some people are not serious for serious. Some people don't have capacity for serious teaching. That's what I notice. Maybe I will change to Malachi chapter 3. And we'll talk about the refiner's fire. Because this part I'm trading, some people are just doing, it's like, they don't have. We now pray and release impartation. You don't want impartation. You don't want impartation. Somebody is saying, is it this way you are talking, that you will do impartation? If it's time for impartation, the talk will change now. Those days when I started ministry, every service is impartation. Every service. I was enjoying it. It's when you grow, when you mature, you will know there is time for everything. You know there is time. If there is anything you have gotten here the most, it's impartation. If I come and start giving it to you, I'm not a wise master builder. I must find, even if it is nil. Because Papa cannot do everything, no. He will build and build and build and build. But you find, maybe he didn't put nail. I'll come with the nail. You understand? There are things that you add to his work, the thing will be firm. And each time I come, I want to know what can I add and make the work balance. And that would inform the message I teach. Do you understand me? I think I have 30 more minutes. Help me with the time I have so I don't misbehave. No, I can't preach for another 2 hours. I don't have that kind of energy today. So, do you understand? Papa is praying, you shall not die, you will die if you have been cut off. Covering will not save you. A priest is not allowed to sin. Let me say it again. A priest is not allowed. I know many pastors, men of God, are doing it. And you think, you know, many of them has been cut off. This cutting off is not an obvious thing, because somebody will expect that if you have been cut off, you should drop dead. No. If you have been cut off, your crowd should reduce. No. If you have been cut off, miracles should stop. No. One of the ways you know a man of God has been cut off, you will notice that the glory of God has disappeared. You will notice the presence of God has left. How do you know when the presence of God has left? If you enter a church and there is miracle, everywhere is shaking, and the presence of God is not there, how do you know? These are the things you should take your time to understand in this season. Because many things is deceit, though. Many things is deceit. Take your time to know. If I enter a place and God is not there, I will know. Everything happening can be happening. Somebody who has been cut off, he no longer has the word of God. For instance, you will know what is the word of God for this season if you are in the alignment in the spirit. And anybody that teaches it, you will know. Some people in a season, sometimes the word of God is very obvious. They are teaching something else. They are nowhere. So cut off does not mean things will just stop working for you. But you are already living a dangerous life. That is a trap. The day you will be in trouble and you will need God's intervention, God will not show up, because you are no longer recognized as one of his people. And that day, we can't predict it. We don't know the day something will come to your side and you will need God's intervention. A priest is not allowed to live in sin. If you are leading people, you are disciples. You can make mistakes in your process of growth and all of that, but you cannot, you should not give yourself to sin in all levels. Whether you are a priest in your family, whether you're a priest somewhere, if you're in any form of service to God, and you are serving God, you can no longer give yourself to sin. Stop thinking you will sin and then you will get forgiveness. Your forgiveness will only preserve your salvation. Your forgiveness does not preserve your position. It doesn't preserve your position. It doesn't preserve the guarantee you have. It doesn't preserve your service. You can't just finish. It's just like, Papa, how can he go and commit sin and come and ask God for forgiveness and come and sit down and continue teaching? You can afford to do it if you are not a functional priest. You are not yet functioning. You are not yet serving. You are a New Testament priest, but you are dormant. The day you get into a line of service and God starts using you, you are no longer allowed to commit sin. If you do it, you'll be cut off from the covenant. Can you be restored? Maybe. You can. Number two. Let's look at Leviticus 7 verse 25. Leviticus 7 verse 25. Anyone who eats the fat of an animal that may be offered as a food offering to the Lord will no longer be considered one of God's people. What does this mean? If you eat what has been offered to God. That's number two. If you eat what has been offered to God, if you take, let me use take, something that has been completely offered to God. If you are not sure, listen. I have interviewed somebody who came to me. The reason I interviewed her is because normally the grace of God on my life, it works more on women than men. I found out. So I have more female disciples than the males. I have more female followers than the males. And before I gave my life to Christ and started serving, the problem I have is woman problem. So you know the scope. Use his ministry and kill. You understand? So if you notice your own is like that, it's also possible. It's not as if you want to womanize. Those days I can't decide it. While I was on the line trying to get a rich number, I had like 3 girlfriends. They came and toasted me. This one came and toasted. I accepted. This one came and toasted. So I cannot. Okay, some people they find make woman toast them. It's not a good thing, no. So this girl came. Everything I know to do, I did. No progress. You know, you have 10 ladies. You are working on them. This one is coming up. 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 This one is not nothing. 1 year pass. Change from year to year. 2 years, nothing. I say, come. What's the challenge? Say nothing. What's the challenge? He said nothing. I say, there is something. And God finally showed me. And I told her later on, and I'm calling her one day. I say, did you ever take money from the offering basket? I didn't even ask. I said, you were serving as an usher. You took money. How did it happen? She said, actually, they have finished giving offering. And this person comes with an envelope to give his own offering. Late, you know, after they finish counting, somebody now came. Just took it. Been cut off. That thing. There are two things. One is, you have taken what belongs to God. That's one. Number two is an accosting. Number two, many times the people that give the money tied a problem to it. Tied barrenness to it. That your barrenness, no anointing on this earth will remove it until you do that restitution. I'm telling you, this Christianity is a legalistic thing. It's not 1-1-1. I know some of you, your life is 1-1-1. That's not how Christianity is. God is very organized. She took it because they've closed the record for the Sunday and closed. What's going? This person comes knowing that she is an usher and gives her the stuff and say, add it. She cannot grow in discipleship because of that. Until I said, how much was that? She told me, go and gather the money. I can help you. Eh? Go to that place and drop it back. And tell somebody there to pray for you. Tell the pastor, say this is what happened. Pray for me. And you'll be restored. I'm saying it just in case you are here. Maybe that's your problem. You stole God's money. You took something that is not for you. They sever you from the thing. Another way is that you ate your tithe. That's why we say that you don't know your tithe belongs to God. Don't you know that tithe belongs to God? Should we start teaching on tithe again? There is no confusion in tithe. There are two orders of priesthood. There's the Melchizedek order of priesthood and there's the Aaronic order of priesthood. In the Melchizedek order of priesthood, you will see certain things that are not in the Aaronic order. For example, in the Melchizedek order of priesthood, salvation is by faith. Because Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. That righteousness is the righteousness we get by faith. That's the righteousness that accompanies salvation. The day you are saved, you are made righteous, even though you are still a sinner. That righteousness, Abraham got it by faith under the Melchizedek order of priesthood. And that's why Jesus Christ is a priest after that order. In Aaronic order, salvation is by works. You must keep the law before you be saved. So it's different. There are other things that are different in the two orders, but there are things that are the same. Number one, tithing. In the first order, there is tithe. In the second order, there is tithe. So no argument. Tithe is a matter of covenant. The people that have subscribed to the new covenant, there is something. Covenant, I didn't say, is made up of obligations and benefits. You are in a marriage. That's a covenant relationship. There's something you benefit from your spouse, and there's something your spouse benefits from you. So when you enjoy your own, you give your own. God is not doing, what we have with God is a symbiotic relationship. It's not a parasitic relationship. Some of you want to hang on to him and just be connecting. It's not that way. God will give, but there are some things you will do. And I took time and thought one day, your obligations in the new covenant. What obligation do you have towards God? One of them is tithing. So your tithe belongs to God. If you eat it, you'll be cut off. That's an example. Let me show you some of the problems that may be contributing to your delay to really come into manifestation, for you to get to where you are going. You are doing a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, you are making a lot of sacrifice, but you are not coming to the manifestation. We are not seeing what we ought to see. 3 years later, revival hub, we are not seeing what we're supposed to see. 4 years later, 1 year later, 6 months, another person started with you, he's entering those things like that. It seems there's something. It could be that you are not in, being cut off. And so what you need to do is to find where you are disconnected so that you can be brought back. When I used to be a faithful tither, let me say this for some of you. I used to be a faithful tither. Because I grew up in Redeem, we have tithe card. When you pay, you mark. There is 4 Sundays in every month, 4 to 5 every day. So they used to use me as example. What was the tithe? 2,000. Get 20,000. Pay 2,000. 500. 1,000. It was very easy. Went for youth service. It was 1998. 2,000. I don't miss it. In 98 comes 2000. I don't miss it. 1 year. My PPA paid something small. I was paying. I now got a job. The first money I got was 150,000. What is the tithe? What's the tithe? There was an issue. I say, 15,000. Oh. Do you know what is 15,000? One time like that, I got 2 million. I stopped paying tithe. I said, 200, me, 200. Give who? Somebody will ask. Well, one day, one of my colleagues, there's a particular time. I got 4 million straight. I took 400,000. After what I want to tell you has happened. Mm-hmm. And I asked my colleague, that money that came, how much? Just, have you paid tithe? He said, for who? For what? He said, no, me, I use my tithe to take care of the less privileged and help people that are not. I said, how many have you done in the last? How many have you done? And have you done up to 400,000? Is this less privilege you are giving 5,000? Yeah? You can't be wise. You just have to follow instructions. What happened? This was in 2017. You know what Anand did? And that's what some Christians do. You are working here. They pay you salary. And they give you allowances. You pay tithe from salary. You don't pay from allowance. You say this one is housing allowance. It's for rent. Okay, you are deceiving. You are a thief. This one is for wardrobe. No tithe. This one is for this. Those things are very big. If you only have a federal government employment, the real pay is in the allowances. So, a pastor now told me, you don't pay tithe on allowances. I came to tell you that it's not correct. You pay on salary, and sometimes salary is 70,000, 80,000. It's easy. Allowance can be million. Sometimes some huge money. I stopped. I didn't pay that tithe 2017, 2018. Sometime in 2018, God now came. Then I was arguing. I don't believe in tithing. Because I asked one of my friends, he said, who is a Muslim? I said, do you put pay tithe in Islam? He said, no. In a year, we might just pay 1 or 2% of our income. Sir, this thing is cheap. It's cheaper. It's like I will join the thing looks cheaper. I said, don't tell me anything about that. Because part of the problem was that they were saying you will go to hell if you don't pay tithe. You will not. You will be cut off. There's no scripture that backs it up. There will be divorce and all of that, but you will not. I said, tell me to. I said, so after Jesus has died, some of you have the argument. After Jesus has died, gave his life, he are telling me I must pay tithe to which devourer can stand against the finished works of Christ. What are you talking about? This thing, there is a problem with this doctrine. They are deceiving us. It's 2 million that is bringing this new voice you are hearing. He said, it's by authority that will deal with devourers. Any devourer that come to my house, if a God will require my tithe to keep away devourer, then he's transactional. This thing I'm saying, is it not convincing some of you? If I preach this message, will it not convince you? Some people are beginning, but wait, is there anything wrong with what you are saying? That's what I was preaching on. And God came and said, you're a thief. Go and pay your tithe. I refuse to heed that voice for 6 months. And everything around my life. This is me, no? The reason is that I was already in the service of God. And I was teaching this poison. I was serving people poison. At some point, I stopped teaching about tithing. But you know what? The day I finally was convinced that something is wrong with this life, because tithing is stewardship. God does everything through stewardship. Adam, eat of all the fruits in the garden, except this one. That one is stewardship. It means you have everything, but you are answerable. You will account for one. Meaning you are not the ultimate boss. There is still a boss. If you have to answer to somebody, it means you are not the ultimate boss. God will deal with you to give you the consciousness that you are still answerable to him. I went and printed my bank statement. You might need to do that. I started calculating all the tithes I missed. Started calculating. After getting the full record, it was about 280,000. I did the maths. About 280,000 that year. And what was in my account was 285,000. That's okay, at least I've accepted. Let me pay 100. When money come, I'll just be clearing it. You say no, the reason, as far as the money there is enough, clear it. I just transferred to the 280. And I was broke that day. Now here, this part. Later, 3 years later, somebody came to me and started pointing some things. This is wrong with my life. This is wrong with my life. This is wrong with my life. Those things resemble the signs I was getting. Every idea will not produce results. Another person will try it and advance. Some of the ideas people have used to advance, you got it first. It didn't work. And I say, all these contracts you've been doing, have you been paying that? He said, not to some IP. So I said, no. You don't work with God like that. Go and download your bank statement. Calculate everything. She went and did the same thing. And her own was 260,000. She now said, sir, I have this money, but if I pay it, it's over for me. I can't do any other thing. What should I do? I want to pay part and then continue. I say, it's not in my hands. My job is to tell you, to let you know that there's a problem. However, ask the Holy Spirit. She eventually paid that money. The person I'm telling you about now, if he puts any, because she's a financier, the grace is there. If she puts any idea on the line, she went from zero, from paying that money, she went from zero to 10 million in a matter of 2 to 3 months. That may not be your case. So your own might take another 1 year. So don't say, what I'm saying are just stories of Christians who took things that belong to God, and they were praying and fasting, expecting to grow. And behind them, they were violating, they were trespassing, touching their cursed things, keeping them. That's just how far I can go for that part. Don't spend anything, don't touch anything, don't borrow your tithe. If you're a businessman, there are things you people do that is wrong. You have done a cycle of business. You calculated your profit. Your profit is 30,000. Instead of you to pay the tithe, you use the whole money, including your tithe, and do another cycle. You do another cycle of business. You say 30,000 for last month plus 30,000 for this month is 60,000. Don't worry, I will pay it. You do another cycle of business. Satan will wait for you the day you start going to Egypt. You didn't get the gist. The day you start going to meet Pharaoh, that's when Satan will appear. Why did Satan harass Moses since? The moment Moses was arguing, you know, I will not go, I will not go, I will not go. There's problem, there's problem. The moment he now said, thank you. So, it's even too much. The moment he now said, okay, God, I will go. Okay, God, I will go. And he started the journey. Satan came to kill him. You know, part of the things that tithe does for you is that it keeps you, what do you call it now? Laboring in an open heaven. You will push the month one, month two, month three. You now do the fourth cycle, everything would drown. And there will be legality to drown it. You cannot stand and say, it shall not happen to the righteous. The money of the righteous will not go down. You are joking. What I'm teaching you, is it making sense?
Yes, sir.
It's important because I don't want you to be praying the way you are praying and you're not moving as you ought to be moving. Certain things, you know, certain things just keeping you, and you are laboring foolishly. Labor as you are laboring, but make sure you are wise. Don't trespass. Let me give you two more. I don't know if I should add this one. Okay, let's add it. Leviticus 27, verse 26. 7:26. No matter where the Israelites live, they must never use the blood of birds or animals for food. 27. Anyone who breaks this law will no longer be considered one of God's people. Go to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 10. Verse 10. If any Israelites or any foreigners living in the community eat meat with blood still in it, the Lord will turn against them and no longer consider them his people. Verse 14. The life of every living thing is in the blood, and that is why the Lord has commanded that all blood be poured out on the altar to take away the people's sins. Blood, which is life, takes away sins. No, I say 14 now. The life of everything is in the blood, and that is why the Lord has told the people of Israel that they shall not eat any meat with blood still in it, and that anyone who does so will no longer be considered one of his people. It's kind of straightforward. I see people in the market, when they are selling meat, they cut that thing and put it in their mouth. Selling cow meat, they cut part of it. Have you not seen live meat with blood? Have you not seen it before? Eh? Don't do that. You will say this one does not really concern you. You will say this one does not really concern you. I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying to be careful. But let's leave it at that. Eh? See, eating blood is not allowed both in the old covenant and in the new covenant. You understand me? Eh? So let me leave it at that. Leave it at that. Let me take one serious one. That 17 we are reading, go to verse 1. Yes, verse 2. Give Aaron and his sons and all the people of Israel the following regulations. Verse 3. Any Israelite who kill a cow or a sheep or a goat as an offering to the Lord anywhere, that's what I want you to see, except at the entrance of the tent of the Lord's presence, have broken the law. They have shed blood and shall no longer be considered God's people. Maybe go further. Go to verse 5. The meaning of this command is that the people of Israel shall now bring to the Lord the animals which they used to kill in the open country. They will bring them to the priest at the entrance of the tent and kill them as fellowship offerings. Verse 6. The priest shall do all of that. Verse 7. The people of Israel must no longer be unfaithful to the Lord by killing the animals in the fields as sacrifices to the goat demons. The people of Israel must keep this regulation for all time to come. Verse 8. Anyone who offer a burnt offering or any other sacrifice, 9, except at the entrance of the tent, shall no longer be considered God's people. Again, I'll use the instance of tithing. When God gives you instruction, he tells you how to obey it. Bring ye all the tithes where? Bring ye all the tithes where? How many of you here have used your tithe to do something else in the past other than dropping it in the church? Raise your hand. Huh? That's not the... I believe you've realized your mistake. Okay, how many of you have not realized your mistake? You don't pay your tithe on your own terms. It's just like somebody takes school fees and go and buy books. He says the same thing, it's for school. The money is for buy course materials. He used the school fees and pay the departmental fee. He says the same thing, the money is for school. We also used it for school. You don't hack that kind of, you don't use that kind of logic when you work with God. When God gives you an instruction, you follow it at your own terms. Any commandment from God is given, and is given with specification on how to carry it out. Once upon a time, Apostle asked me to go and preach for him somewhere. And when I got there, I told them that he asked me to come. So when I was done with the ministration, they brought an envelope. I said, this money is not for me. I'm sending it to the person that sent me. So give him honorarium. The guy said, especially if you're a pastor, you need to learn it. I won't teach it. Why did I even say this thing? You need to make the mistake and suffer for long. Then you will learn. Do you know what they did? The moment they found that the apostle is not coming, they went and slashed what they wanted to do by half. If I was a goat, I would collect the half and chow. And I've worked with him for long. He won't talk to you. He will even ask you, how did the program go? And he will not, it will not affect your relationship. But he already knows you're a goat. If you've dealt with him, you will know. He already knows you're a goat. And he'll start relating you as with you as one. If he tells you, it's the first sign of love. If he tells you, I said, if God laid it in your heart to do this, let's say God told you, this minister of God, give him 50,000. You now found out that he's not coming. You now reduce it to 20,000. Don't get involved in that. That's what he's talking about. The plan is to put three halves of chicken. And you now remove one. You're a sister, you're in the kitchen, you now remove one. And say, he cannot, he might be fasting. He cannot finish three. Let's add this one to this. You need to know what is what goes on behind the scene. Let's remove. Sisters are putting food according to their feeling, not according to instruction. You'll be cut off. Do you hear? Did you read in the book of Judges that God disqualified people because of the way they were drinking water? He said, in order for us to know the people that we'll send home, take them to the stream to drink water. Watch those that are drinking the water at a night. They are drinking it like dogs. Ready with their knife. Those are the ones you take. They are serious. Those ones that will bring down their weapon. Bring down their distance. And then kneel down. But you can actually kill them where they are drinking water. Send them home. They are not ready for battle. And that's what happened there. When we went for rural rugged years back, as you are going out on Friday, they tell you, this rural rugged, no betting till we return on Sunday. But some ladies cannot stay without betting. I used to joke with my wife. I'll tell her, you are not a missionary. We'll just move for you are talking of water to bait. Real mission work. There's no baiting. No. How many of you have gone for rural rugged evangelism? In one of the villages we went to, one of the rugged, one girl insisted she must bait. And instead of her to be wiser, she went to the stream and pulled off. Sat down. They carried her from there. Yes. They carried her from there. They came and called us from this thing. People were going for evangelism. She went to bait. Came and called us, and some girls rushed to that place, packaged her, able to dress her up, and rushed her back to the car, and they started praying. I don't know what Esther came out of it. And all of that. So let me do one more. Number, what is this? Should I do this one? I need to do only one, and I'm wondering which one will be most applicable to the people here. I need to do two. Leviticus chapter 18. I need to do two more. I have just 5 or 10 minutes. Let me do five minutes. Leviticus 18, start from verse 6. Do not have sexual intercourse with any of your relatives. Next. Don't sleep with your father's wife, with your father's second wife. That's your father, with your mother. Okay. Don't disgrace your father by having intercourse with your mother. 8. Pay attention. Don't disgrace. If it wasn't happening, they would not have written it. Don't disgrace your father by having intercourse with his other wives. 9. Don't have intercourse with your sister or your stepsister, whether or not she was brought up in the same house with you. If you have slept with your sister in the past, there's somebody listening to me now. You are a lady and you're having intercourse with your brother. Parents are not aware. Actually had a case like that. That lady, what do I do with you now? You need serious help, and there are certain things that will need to be done to redeem you from that stuff. Okay, let me leave you for now. You are in the right environment, and God will help you in the name of Jesus. I say, God will help you in the name of Jesus. Don't have intercourse with your granddaughter. It means it was happening. Verse 11. Don't have intercourse with your half sister. 12. Don't have intercourse with your aunt. This one would have happened to me, whether she's your father's sister or your mother's sister. Anyone I'm mentioning here now, some people here have done it. Your aunt, you are here. Don't have intercourse with your uncle's wife. 15. Somebody will say, why is this pastor talking about intercourse in this? Relax. Don't have intercourse with your daughter-in-law. Haven't you heard of it? Or with your brother's wife? Don't have intercourse with the daughter or granddaughter of a woman with whom you have had intercourse. Sleep with mother and daughter. Next, 18. Don't take your wife's sister as one of your wives. As long as your wife is, I'm not setting the rules anyway with this. I'm just picking out. I should say 19 before you move. Don't have intercourse with a woman during her monthly period. 20. Don't have intercourse with another. It's possible you've not read it before, so let me just read it. Don't have intercourse with another man's wife. 21. Don't hand over any of your children to be used in the worship. Don't commit abortion. That's what he's saying. 22. No man is to have sexual relations with another man. You can read the rest. No man or woman is to have sexual relations with an animal. If it was not happening in Egypt, they won't write it. 24. Do not make yourselves unclean by any of these acts. For that is how the pagans made themselves unclean. Those pagans who lived in the land. 25. Their actions made the land unclean. It defied the land. And the Lord is punishing the land and making it reject the people who live there. So the people that are where you are going, the reason they are sent out because of this. They did all this and all of that. 28. The same message. 29. Finally. Whoever does any of these things will no longer be considered one of God's people. And one last thing. This one is straightforward. I don't expect anybody here to be having any intercourse. But you still find that people will gather like this to pray and they get involved in some of these things. If you have gotten involved in any of these things, even if it's in the past or recently, open up to your pastor. Let them help you and clear that. Is a serious stumbling block in the spirit on your path. It slows you down. You may have done it in your time of foolishness. You may not have known better when you did it, but you still need help. You need, because you are fighting a warfare. You are representing God in your family. And whatsoever your reality, your own reality is, you need to make sure you are running with speed. This, my message, is instructive and kind of to open your eyes to some gray areas, to grant you speed in the spirit. Let me do just one more, and that's where I will end. Leviticus 20, verse 6. Can't do another after this. Leviticus 20, verse 6. If any of you go for advice to people who consult the spirits of the dead, I will turn against you. I will no longer consider you one of my people. Put it in King James. New King James, maybe. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from amongst his people. What does this mean? I'll give an example. When I came back from youth service, there was a woman that had cancer. That was the first cancer patient I went to pray for. By the time I came back, her face was big. I don't know what cancer. So you see, this face is big. This one is normal. So that thing, she was in pain. When I came to pray for her, this, her eyes was as big as your, as my face. I've been trained somehow, you know, back then we were trained. Whenever you see cancer patient, I prayed and prayed and prayed. I trusted God to heal that woman. And prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Many other people prayed. They brought her to church those days. They even took her picture to Redemption Camp, gave to Daddy Gio. Before they would meet Daddy Gio, Daddy Gio gave a word of knowledge. There's somebody here, mentioned the place, mentioned the case, they brought the picture. We should think that is the end of the matter. Because once that man mentions your case is over. The day he mentioned this woman's case, the people that were to give him the picture were still waiting for the program to finish to go and see him in his office. And he stood from the altar and called the case. From the point he called the case, we all started rejoicing, expecting to see change. The woman died. So when the woman died, started asking serious questions. And so some revelations came. And I must advise you, and advise you to also advise your people. When they were treating the cancer and she was not getting better, somebody came to the husband and said, "There's somebody I will take you to." And when they got there, first, when they got to the environment, being a Christian, being a pastor, he should have told himself, should have asked himself, "Is this place, is this thing pure?" He got there, they brought the wife down. The man said she was going to undress and tie her up. So they undressed her, tore up them, carried her on stretcher into the place. This is a pastor's wife. And the man, the chief priest, whoever, was working with his son. So both of them started beating the woman, cleaning her body. By the time they came to rescue her, she could not say Jesus. She couldn't say Jesus again. If God cannot heal you, die. Are you listening to me? If there is something and God does not want to heal, just go and die. Any solution outside God is not a solution. If my mother is sick and we pray, that's the one we know. If the prayer will not bring the healing, we prepare her to die. She won't be the first. Let me tell you, if in your pursuit of solution, you take any step that puts doubt, not everybody A common Christian, sometimes God overlooks many of these things. I am talking of you that have walked with God to this level. You take an action that suggests you no longer, or there's an alternative, and God will be watching you. God will be watching you, watching you. See, don't be so much in search of a solution that you begin to trespass. Familiar spirit is the same. Soothsayers. Those days, somebody will leave, redeem, and go to what do you call it? That one he said. Did you hear what he said? Say it again. Don't shout. To go and get wisdom, to go and get prayer houses. There was a particular girl. Her laptop got missing in a lodge. They came into her lodge and stole her laptop. And her roommate came and said, "He's a Christian." Her roommate came and said, "There's somebody that will show you who took the laptop. Be careful." And she followed, and they did, and told her who took the laptop, and all of that. By the time she got into that, in fact, the girl I'm talking about has not been able to be a proper Christian. What I'm telling you has happened about 8 years ago. The moment you move outside, the way God heals is that you pray. You exercise your faith in prayer and he responds. We are not praying, no. We are talking, and I'm making my last point. You exercise your faith in prayer and God responds. Anything outside that, you have to be careful. Many of us, we are in a hurry to find another thing that can work, that may not necessarily look like. Many of us are in a hurry to consult alternatives, hurry to look for alternatives. So I kept asking, how can this man of God pick this thing? How can I didn't change? The moment she entered that place, God is no longer committed. She has been cut off. God is no longer committed to give her healing. God will forgive her for going there, and she will die and go to heaven. But to get healing from God, she is no longer qualified. You have a sister that is sick. You have a mother that is sick. Be careful where they are going. Goes to church, and they do that. You can no longer expect that thing to flow. You will pray and pray and pray, and what you are praying about will not come to pass. And that's where I will stop. And your prayer in the next 1 minute is to ask God to show you many of those areas where you need to get it right, so that your journey in these 50 days will not be a waste by reason of your carelessness in one way or the other. Just pray. It's a solemn moment. It's not time to pray in tongues and forget yourself. As you are praying, you can pray in the spirit. But as you are praying, put your mind on what I've asked you to pray about. Because that prayer is supposed to come with a response. When you are here, God is interested in you. That's why he's making sure you get it right. You might be making mistakes out of your ignorance, but that will still, those mistakes will still be stopping you nonetheless. So you will need discernment. You will need perspective to be brought on issues that are contributing to your delay, contributing to backwardness, retrogression. You need to make sure that you are not crossing any boundaries. Make sure that you are ordering your life within the order, the divine order. Ordering your life within the boundaries that God has set. It's very easy to cross some of these boundaries and you won't be aware. Pray for 30 more seconds. Fabeko suva barata hadiato sumbra dadesh. When you are here, 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 when you are here. When you are here, when you are here, in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I want to pray for you. Very important prayer. And if as I'm praying, you feel led to come out, come. No, I say if as I'm praying. Go down on your knees and raise your hands. Yes, just everybody. Father, I bring these ones before you. There are people here that have done things that has disconnected them from the covenant. The issue they are dealing with has to do. Close your eyes. Look at me. The issues they are dealing with has to do with violation of your covenant, breaking some of the boundaries that you set. The issues they are dealing with has to do with overstepping the boundaries that you have set. Many of them are no longer connected. As they are laboring, the labor is not amounting to anything because of some of these issues. Father, I pray on the account of the finished works of Christ, that work that was done on the cross that carries power to bring atonement. Father, I bring atonement over every life. I bring atonement over every life. Amen. And I pray that every iniquity that is credited to you, even the ones we have mentioned, the ones we are able to mention, something you have done that is still speaking, by the reason of the blood of Jesus, will silence that voice. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let the blood of Jesus do a work. A work of atonement. Amen. Let it atone for you. Amen. Whatever sin, whatever action, iniquity, trespass on your part that is constituting delays, that is hindering you, that is pulling you back, it's not allowing you to make progress. Father, we bring repentance. Amen. We bring repentance. It could be your mother. It could be your sister. I don't know. You have somebody. We bring them into this same environment. We reach them from this environment. And we bring the blood of Jesus to speak on their behalf. Speak on their behalf. Many of them are doing this by ignorance. Father, we release the cleansing, the atoning power of the blood to work in the favor of these ones
in the name of Jesus.
You are forgiven. So you begin to make progress. You begin to make progress. Every sin that is still open, unforgiven sins, they are forgiven now.
In the name of Jesus.
Everything that God has against you, unaware, you are not even aware. Everything that Satan is using to stand in the spirit, to stain your garment, to challenge you, to accuse you, is even accusing you. 38 days later, he's still accusing you. By the power and the blood of Jesus, we bring Satan's voice to a stop. We silence that Satan, we silence that demon. And we pray that your garment in the spirit will become clean now.
In the name of Jesus. Let your garment be made clean in the name of Jesus. Let your garments be made clean in the name of Jesus.
Your spiritual part is made clean. Everything sin, yes, let it be cleaned up. Let it be cleaned up. In the remaining 12 days of this journey, you will fly. In the remaining 12 days of this journey, you will run with speed. All those sins that have been holding you, let them leave you alone now. And Satan will come against you. We know your basis of oppression. Some of these things is what you have stayed upon to oppress and to hinder the work that God is doing in the lives of these ones. Now we live an injunction in the spirit. Everybody in these 40 days following online, what I'm saying applies to you, and you are hearing my voice. We live an injunction and we fasten it to the heavens and peg it on the earth, that these ones under the sound of my voice, you are free from every oppression of darkness. You are free from every oppression of darkness.
In the name of Jesus.
Satan, you are not permitted to harass anyone here again. You are not permitted to hold anyone here again. We discharge you from your duty, from your assignment here. I will set these ones on a clean track. The speed to run, the speed to fly be granted unto them.
In the name of Jesus.
God who has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. Let the blood of Jesus also work on your conscience. And you are free to serve God without any hindrance. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Visited. When you are here, when you are here, when you are here,
please let the offering basket pass from. Let the offering basket pass from.
But believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edude Chukwu, with unlimited access to life-transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.